Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. Joining us now is Judith Conte, who is the Federal Advocacy Coordinator for the National Employment Law Project. She's also the co-founder and former executive director of the DC Employment Justice Center. Welcome to Background Briefing, Judith Conte.
Thank you. I appreciate the invitation to be here tonight.
And Judith, the deal that was just struck, and the House voted yes, the Senate apparently will vote, the President will sign it, will avoid the shutdown. But it does feel as though hostage taking and ransom payment has worked. I mean, as a nation, we don't yield and don't bargain with terrorists, but on Capitol Hill, apparently.
It certainly does seem like a one-sided deal. You know, the president began these negotiations saying that he wouldn't sign anything that wasn't a balance between spending cuts and raising revenues, and this plan, this deal, doesn't raise a penny of revenue. So it is not the balanced plan that he called for, that's for sure.
But Judith, how is he going to run on this? Because it almost feels like a suicide pact. If you know that the economy is not recovering, the stimulus that you put out at the beginning of your administration, which a lot of people argue wasn't sufficient, which he negotiated with Chuck Grassley in the Senate to change 40% of it into tax breaks as opposed to cash, and then the Republicans turned around and not one of them voted for it, and now it's petered out, it's run out in the states. We see the distress in the states, laying off people. So we can see what's happening with the stimulus running out. And now this deal, which is likely to stall this anemic recovery dead in its tracks, is only going to create more joblessness and unemployment as he faces election in 2012. So it feels to me like he's playing into the Republicans' hands. If that's their intention, you know, do we have to be that cynical?
Well, you know, you would not be the only cynic to feel that way. Down here in D.C., there's certainly a lot of people that feel that way as well. You know, I think the president was between a rock and a hard place. He and his advisors felt that the possibility of default and what that could do to our economy was just too catastrophic and could well have put us back into a full-fledged recession. And they weren't willing to take that gamble, and some people on the other side of the aisle would. Not to be partisan about it, but, you know, the fact of the matter is that one party was willing to hold out, and at the end of the day, the leader of the country wasn't willing to take that risk. And I think that is a respectable position, but you are right. This was a time when there was an opportunity to not just reduce the deficit, not just deal with the debt ceiling, but to get some stimulus going, to perhaps do some job creation, you know, really have, again, done a balanced package. And there were opportunities to do all of that, and none of it happened other than cutting spending. So it is a moment of opportunity that is lost, and we are, as you all know, and as all your listeners know, mired with a Congress that really doesn't act terribly much unless there's a gun against its head. And there aren't many other guns that are available for the rest of the year. So, you know, this Congress still hasn't passed a single piece of job-creating legislation. There's no talk of it doing so. There's a few proposals out there. But there are very few opportunities left, and it's really quite unfortunate, because I think any economist would tell you that the single best way to not only fuel our economic recovery but to deal with our debt and deficit problems is to get people back to work and get them paying income taxes and get them paying sales taxes for the things that they buy with the money that they have. It's really quite simple, and it's really quite logical. And when we are dealing with a Congress that isn't going to do anything to create jobs, that's really stalling the recovery.
Again, I'm speaking with Judith Conte, who is the Federal Advocacy Coordinator for the National Employment Law Project. So when, in defense of when the president tried to shame the Republicans, suggesting that they only cared about millionaires and billionaires and corporate tax breaks, et cetera, the Republican response was that we can't tax the job creators. They substituted the word job creators for billionaires. Now, are the job creators going to step up?
Well, it's very interesting. My colleagues and I love that sleight of hand with employers now all of a sudden being called job creators, and with even millionaires and billionaires who don't create jobs and who aren't employers being called job creators. It's a wonderful piece of marketing. You know, we saw last month that there were 54,000 jobs created, which is nothing. If we have, 250,000 jobs created every single month, we'll get back to, out of the hole that we're in with jobs in 4 years. If we have 400,000 jobs a month, we'll get out of it in 3 years. The rate we're going right now, I don't know when we're ever going to see recovery. So it's all well and good to talk about how, at the end of last December, we forestalled the tax breaks we forestalled reducing the Bush tax cuts because we needed this money to stimulate the economy, and millionaires and billionaires were going to use it to create jobs, and we've seen very anemic job growth ever since then. In the period, in at least in my lifetime, when we've seen the most robust job creation in the entirety of my life, it was during the years when President Clinton had raised taxes, cut spending in other areas, but really enacted some balanced, broad fiscal measures, including raising taxes on those who could afford to pay more, and job creation was booming. So, you do the math. We had the Bush tax cuts, and in the course of his entire administration, there was a net creation of less than a million jobs. There's been more, creation of more than a million jobs during the Obama administration already, and that's been in the aftermath of the recession. So it just doesn't seem to me that any facts and any reason bears out this notion that you cut taxes on millionaires and billionaires that magically jobs will be created. It just isn't happening. The job creators are asleep at the wheel.
And Economics 101 suggests that in a recession, in order to create demand and create revenues, is you create employment, and that creates demand. You just said that. So
exactly.
Nothing's happening.
When we saw the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act go into effect, but before that, we were in free fall, losing 400,000 or 500,000 jobs a month. All of a sudden, almost on a dime, that changed. And first you saw the job losses decrease very precipitously. Then all of a sudden you saw things even out. And then you slowly saw jobs starting to come back. Mm-hmm. And it was immediate after we infused that much cash into the American system. People had money to buy things. You spend things in the economy. That generates jobs.
Well, I thank you.
Like 101 for that.
Well, I'm afraid we've run out of time, Judith, but I'd like to revisit this conversation later. So I thank you for joining us.
Where to find me.
I do.
Thank you. And good evening to you and your listeners.
Thank you. Again, I've been speaking with Judith Conte, who's the Federal Advocacy Coordinator for the National Employment Law Project. She's also the co-founder and former executive director of the D.C. Employment Justice Center. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about a country that is bleeding, Syria.
Down the pavement, looking for a job. I'll do anything except to steal and rob. Unemployment, something I can't do. If you can't use me, can you tell us some good news?